The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Resilient Butterfly, the podcast for the people who are just as confused about life as I am. I'm your host, Nay, full-time nursing student, dog mom, and gym junkie, who is here to share my own mistakes and hardships to maybe guide you on how to make your life a little easier. I'm here to share what tools I use to have an uplifting outlook on life, and how I keep in touch with my spirituality, despite how messed up the universe may seem. Let's learn and grow together. Hello, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Resilient Butterfly. I say amazing because the current mood that I'm in recording this, I'm in an amazing mood. I'm in a good mood. So I hope that you can really get that from today's episode and carry that into the rest of your day too, because I want you to feel absolutely amazing. But today we will be discussing romanticizing your life. Before we get into today's topic, of course, we will start with the quote of the day. Today's quote of the day will be another tweet from @lamster525, who is a high school teacher in the Bay Area. And the quote is, "No one wants to hear this. At some point, you have to stop complaining about those around you who make your life difficult and begin to hold yourself accountable for not making a change and continuing to suffer. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional." Let's take a moment to sit with this quote to interpret what it means to you. When I first saw this tweet, I absolutely loved it. All of us are guilty of complaining. Naturally, as human beings, we complain all the time when something doesn't go our way. I think you have this addictive programming that once something doesn't go exactly the way that you want it, you experience an upset, which causes complaining. But what this tweet is trying to get at is, your complaining isn't going to lead you anywhere. If you want to actually fix something, hold yourself accountable for your own actions too. I mentioned this before, but we interpret what others do to us. You are in control of your emotions. No one makes you feel a certain way. Of course, some people's actions can be interpreted in a way that can be harmful or that genuinely upsets you, and you're absolutely 100% entitled to that upset. But there are certain things where, are you going to continue to sit with these upsets and complain, or are you going to acknowledge that you can do something about it? I definitely think there's a time and a place to sit with your emotions. You need time to process, and if you ignore how certain things make you feel, then you're never going to be able to understand exactly what it is about the situation that might make you feel that way. And it takes a lot of noticing and allowing yourself to separate from situations and step back. And once you're able to do that, you can get the bigger picture. You can hold yourself accountable for whatever part you may play and say, you know what? I am tired of feeling this way, and I want to stop feeling poopy, and I just want to move on. And sometimes a lot of people don't want to hear that. It's a lot easier to complain than to take action and make a difference in your life. But no one can force you to do that. And I really like the ending part where it says, pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. And that is 100% true. No matter what your background is, how you grew up, you will always experience some type of pain. But the amount that we suffer is entirely up to you, because you are in control of your emotions. If you choose to sit with something longer, that is 100% up to you. Don't blame the other person, because it already happened. You are in control of what happens after that. So, moving on to today's topic, Romanticizing your life. How exactly do you romanticize your life? When looking up the definition on Google to what exactly romanticizing your life means, the first article that will pop up is from The Ionian, which is a student-run newspaper from Iona College, a private university located in New York. According to the article by Catherine Daly, romanticizing your life means focusing on your own goals and achieving them. Romanticizing your life allows you to embrace change, learn new things, and helps you grow into yourself. And from my own interpretation of what romanticizing your life is, it is exactly that, but also it's learning to enjoy every single moment, learning to enjoy the process, because you only get one life. And it's really important to enjoy every single moment of it. Of course, you're not always going to actually enjoy every single moment because there are hardships, there are upsets, and there's pain, and what we call bad things are bound to happen. But how we overcome those, the resilience, is what makes life beautiful. What makes you you? And what Daly is saying is, she mentions, romanticizing your life allows you to embrace change, learn new things, and helps you grow into yourself. And that's exactly what I'm alluding to. If you take the time to appreciate life and all the process that you go through in life, you can embrace those changes and become a more evolved version of yourself. And I think a lot of people can relate to when it comes to always worrying if what you're actually doing is worth something. I think as a society, we're very stuck on wanting to do the right thing. And you always want to do the right thing. I think that's very understandable. But it's hard to be stuck on that. Constantly worried about the next step and developing this anxiety just about the future because you're so stuck on what if I do this? Is it going to lead to that? Constantly caught up in the what ifs and maybes of life. And this thought process doesn't allow you to live in the present. You can't enjoy your life if you're constantly stuck worrying about all these what ifs and maybes of the future that you have no control over. And what I mean by you have no control is the things you can control is the present, how you act in the present. The future is something to worry about when the time comes, because when the future then becomes the present, that's the only time when you can truly control your actions. And there was someone very near and dear to me who had a really hard time living in the present because he had a lot of expectations to live up to and he wanted to make sure that everything that he was doing was right. So I reached out to my tripping teacher about this topic and he shared his own insight and stated, "Constantly worrying is a form of addictive programming. Imagine a vendor who sells umbrellas and sunglasses. On sunny days, he's worrying about the sales for umbrellas. And on rainy days, he's worrying about the sales for sunglasses. You need to let go of the concept of right or wrong decisions. And you need to practice focusing on the now. And remind yourself that you have the ability to enjoy the moment regardless of how situations turned out," which is abundant expectancy. "The important goal isn't to make all the right decisions. The most important goal is to experience peace right now, regardless of sunny or rainy days." And I think experiencing that peace is exactly how you romanticize your life. I thought it was so interesting talking about a seller who is worried about selling umbrellas on the most sunniest of days, but then worried about selling sunglasses when it's raining outside. And it's that perfect analogy of constantly worrying about the things that you have absolutely no control of. We don't control the weather. I wish I could, but I can't. So constantly worrying about something that I can't control, it's definitely tiring. You have to find peace within the unknowns, and that's how you romanticize your life. And I think a really big part of romanticizing your life is also living your life for you. Growing up, I fell victim to this. I would constantly want to live up to the expectations of other people. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be accepted. And in my family, I wasn't necessarily viewed as someone who was going to be successful because my dad was sort of the black sheep of his side. He was the troublemaker. So of course his daughter, there weren't necessarily high hopes. And I spent a lot of my childhood trying to prove them wrong. And it was absolutely exhausting. I remember one of my aunts had even said to my mom, "Oh, Renee, you're definitely going to have to keep her off the pole," referring that I was going to be a stripper. And that wasn't an occupation that was deemed suitable for a living. There's definitely nothing wrong with strippers or whatever you choose to do for your work, but every family has their own social norms, and they use that as a way to basically tell my mom that I was not going to do well. So when the whole process in high school came to applying to college, obviously my dream was to become a nurse, and I applied to college, and I was the first person in my immediate family to actually do that. And I was very proud of myself, but I mainly did it because I wanted to show my family that I was actually worth something, that I could amount to something, that I wasn't what they were saying that I was, that I wasn't a mess, that I could do things, and I was smart, and I could live up to this standard that they had in their head of what exactly I was supposed to be. And I got accepted to San Francisco State University, and at the time that was my dream school, and it was for nursing. And as soon as I got accepted and my family shared that I was, my aunts and cousins said, "Well, why are you going there? You can't afford that. It doesn't make sense. Just go home. Go to community college." And at the time, I was shocked. I just couldn't believe that I had worked years. I worked through elementary, middle school, high school, up into this moment to finally have my aha, to finally say, "Look, I met your expectations. Now praise me. Now this is finally going to be the part of my life where I am something." And their words just shocked me. I felt like I was not enough. And it actually caused me to spiral into a depression because I spent so much years trying to meet these crazy expectations that they had for me. And I was unfair to myself. I was worrying about things that I had absolutely no control of. I was living my life for other people. I wasn't romanticizing my life. And it took me a long time to realize that trying to make other people happy is not living for you. You have to live for you because it is your life. It is not anyone else's. You are in control of your actions and what you choose to do. And other people's expectations shouldn't dictate on what you choose to do with your life. You have to separate yourself from all those things in order to find that peace and love your life and love absolutely everything about it. And I work hard to do that every day. I'm absolutely not perfect, but we all start from somewhere. So I hope that if you're not already, start romanticizing your life, as simple as that seems. Because life is beautiful and you only have one life. That will conclude today's episode. And next week's, we will be discussing overcoming fears. So until next time on Resilient Butterfly.